everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here today to do another one of our non-Hallmark Christmas movie recaps. And we're going to cover a lot of movies today because it's been a little bit since we did our last one of these. And it's been a long bit, a couple of weeks since we had co-host Amy on the podcast.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. And hi, I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm excited to be here. But Amy, congratulations. You have finished college. Can you believe it?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't believe it. 4.5 years and 2 bachelor's degrees later, I'm finished for the time being. So that's nice.
I'm so proud of you. As your podcast mom, I am so proud of you.
Unfortunately, I got 2 degrees and neither of them will help us with the podcast.
Oh, no. So poor planning on your part.
Oh, yeah, because when I decided my major 5 years ago, this was my intention.
So I didn't realize that you're not double majoring. You're literally getting 2 degrees.
Yeah, I got 2 bachelor's degrees. Yeah. Liberal studies and American studies.
Oh, okay.
So, so literally the only help I will be is correcting When Calls the Heart when they get their American history wrong. Well, not even that, because technically they're in Canada, so.
So you are not, I thought you were getting a teaching degree.
So in the state of California, they actually don't have an education major. You have to get a bachelor's degree. Uh-huh. And then after that, you go back for a credential program, which is what I will be starting in August. And that's either 12 to 18 months. It depends what type of program you pick. And you actually get credentialed to be a teacher. And that's a separate thing. And you have to have that to teach in the state of California. And because it is a separate program on top of your bachelor's degree, it actually means I could teach in any state in the country, pretty much.
Cool. Wow. Well, yeah. Congratulations. We're happy for you. And we're excited to talk about these movies. It's been an interesting season of non-Hallmark. And we have quite a bit of variety that we're talking about today. Some of them we'll talk about for longer than others, because some of them both of us have seen, and some of us, just one of us have seen. So it's going to be great. And so let's get started.
So All right. So I'm going to give the list again.
Okay.
Is that okay? Sure. Because I know some people, they're like, well, which ones are you talking about on this episode? So
yeah. And we're in the description section as well, the timestamp.
Okay. Okay, awesome. So from Up TV, we're talking about Snowbound for Christmas, from A Video on Demand, Feast of the Seven Fishes, from Lifetime, Christmas Stars, Matchmaker Christmas, A Christmas Winter Song, and Rediscovering Christmas. From Netflix, Holiday Rush, and A Christmas Prince Royal Baby. From Ion, Best Christmas Ball Ever, A Beauty and the Beast Christmas, and Christmas Matchmakers. And last but not least, from Bet, Holiday Heist, and Twas the Chaos Before Christmas.
Very good. Yes. So it's going to be very exciting.
Lucky 13.
So let's talk about Snowbound for Christmas. This stars Zaren Darnell Martin, Henderson Wade, and Scott Thompson. And it's the summary. A marketing executive is invited by her charming and handsome boss to pitch a major project to prospective clients at a posh resort, and the two get snowed in together before any of the other guests can arrive. Now with the hotel to themselves, a fairy tale snowscape outside and sparks flying inside, they find that being alone together is all the Christmas magic they need.
Ooh. So,
and this is on Up TV. So, Amy, what were your thoughts about this one?
I really like the actors, and I would like to see them in more. I think they did a good job. The thing for this movie, though, was it dragged a lot for me, and I feel like there was too much business drama that didn't really pull me in, didn't interest me, and I felt like the story didn't move along quick enough for me. But it was cute how they got stranded in the resort. I think that's a really cute idea, getting stranded in the resort, just the two of them, and them just getting to, like, have fun and do all these fun things. So I enjoyed that. It's just, I think there was too much business, and I wasn't really as invested in their business aspect, especially since one of their other coworkers, I didn't like her. So I don't really care about the business right now. So,
yeah.
But other than that, I think it was cute, but it did drag.
I agree with you. I think that for the most part, I agree with you. I did think that the two of them had really nice chemistry and it was pretty palpable. And I thought that she was so cute. I loved her. And yeah, I thought that the other lady was sort of over the top enough that she was kind of funny, but it was probably a little too much of her. And her being snowed in with that other guy. And yeah, I agree about the business parts that were kind of boring. So I have it right now, my non-Hallmark, I have 68.
Oh my goodness.
And I have this at 32. So right, pretty much right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah, mine's around the middle as well. Yeah. So
very good. How many stars would you give this one out of five?
2.5.
I'm gonna give it a 3. I three out of five.
Okay.
So all right. Then we have Feast of the Seven Fishes. This is a independent film. And I'm sure it was released in theaters somewhere, but I could not find the rating. I think it's an R rating just for language and a little bit of sensuality, but you can check on IMDb, the parental guidance, if you want more content guidance on it. But anyway, it's, you can find it video on demand right now, and it stars Skylar Gisondo, Madison Eisman, and Josh Hellman. It's a slice of life story that follows a large Italian family on Christmas Eve as they prepare for the traditional Feast of the Seven Fishes, reminisce about the past, and seek love in the future. And this is set in the 80s. It kind of felt like the movie Dazed and Confused, but at Christmas. Not as, I mean, I love Dazed and Confused, but not as good. But in that same feel where you're just sort of following people around on their day and their interactions. And so that's, that kind of storytelling isn't for everyone, but I enjoyed it. And this would be a good choice if you are kind of tired of the saccharine type of Christmas movies and want something a little more earthy, gritty, a little more real kind of feeling, then I think you will like it. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good film. Kind of refreshing. The dialogue was good. It felt very authentic, like how these people would actually behave. And right now I have it at 13 in my ranking, but it's so different. It's kind of hard to rank. But anyway, that's where I have it. I would give this one four stars. It's really good if you like what it's doing. If that's your kind of movie, you'll like it. And I liked it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So what do we have next?
All right. So now we're going to move on into Lifetime. So the first one we have is Christmas Stars, starring Erica Durance, JT Hodges, and Micah Kalash. Kalash?
Kalish, I bet.
Kalish? Okay. when an aspiring R&B artist, Layla, crosses paths with amateur songwriter Spence, she thinks she's found her shot at finally getting a record deal. But as the holidays approach, the fast-paced, high-stakes music business threatens to change their sound and relationship, especially when the label executives begin to see Spence as the real star. All right, so what did you think of this one, Rachel?
I did not like this movie.
Okay, me either.
I thought this movie was so boring. I really disliked her character. I thought she was really irritating and very selfish, and like selfish in a way that's very irritating, that like she's claiming everything that she's doing is for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of in a selfish way. It's like, I don't know. I just wanted her to go away. I thought she was very irritating, and kind of expected everybody to kind of bend over backwards to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And she like wouldn't show up for things, or she wouldn't sing when she's right there. And I don't know. I just really disliked this movie. It it was so much about the business of recording and all of these long conversations about making an album. And I'm sure people that are in that business find that very interesting and compelling because that's their business. But you just need more than that for a compelling film. And so this is my least favorite TV movie, Christmas.
Oh, wow, really?
I really disliked it. I just thought it, I really disliked the characters, and I really disliked the story, and I really disliked pretty much everything about it. Yeah, so it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I agree completely. I thought you were going to love this one, Rachel, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I did. But, like, it went on forever. I felt like this is how someone would feel if I was to sit down and talk for 2 hours about a math lesson.
Yeah.
Like, that's how this movie
felt. Part of that sounds like me. I'm confused. I don't understand.
So, like, it did not. I have to say the music was good. They were good singers. That's about it.
Yeah. I would rather just listen to a concert.
Yeah.
Rather than, especially, like, that wasn't even as pleasant because you knew she was sitting in the background,
mm-hmm.
making things difficult.
She was being real sulky the whole time.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
I was just, ugh. So, yeah, this one's 67 out of 68.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, for me.
I think mine's the last four, it's in the bottom, yeah.
I give it 1 star.
Same for me, 1 star.
And real quick, I'll say the one that is 68 is the remake of Black Christmas. And I this is PG-13, so it's not really very satisfying on a horror level if people like that kind of, you know, the slasher. You go to a movie like this expecting that kind of thing, so that's not satisfying. It's not scary at all. It is loaded with characters. It's not that I mind supposedly empowered characters. That's fine. But what kind of annoyed me about this movie is that there was definitely the impression that if you aren't a specific kind of person, then you are not empowered. There's only one way to be empowered. There's only one way to be a woman. There's only one way to live your life. And there's even the one character that kind of chooses differently is billed as this sort of traitor to all womankind. And it was, the script was terrible. All the men were terrible. At best, one of the male characters was sort of naive and a doofus. That's about as best you get. And I get it, what they were trying to do, but it was sloppy, it was poorly written, it was poorly executed, and it wasn't scary. So this movie is awful. And I have it at 68. It's one of the worst movies I've seen all year at the theater. So
you have it, you have Christmas Coupon better?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
It's so bad.
It must have been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas Coupon at least had a few cute scenes. It at least had a guy I liked. It wasn't actively irritating to me, Christmas Coupon. It just was kind of sloppy and
Wow. All right.
Yep. It's a true story. So don't say Black Christmas. It's terrible.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, well, let's continue on with our lifetime now.
0 stars.
Is that allowed?
Yes. So bad.
Okay. All right. So next one we have Matchmaker Christmas from Lifetime, starring Emily Rose, Corey Sevier, and Melanie Nelson. So as a Christmas party for a book publishing company approaches, editor Maggie volunteers to help her boss Amanda find a date. Matchmaking is a bit of a hobby for Maggie, but she is thrown off her game when Jackson, her old boyfriend from her college years, shows up at work. As a newly signed successful author, Maggie would love to deny that she feels anything for him, but Jackson isn't making it easy. She'll have to face her decisions from the past, along with Amanda eyeing Jackson, to bring together the perfect matches at Christmas.
Yes. So have you ever read the book Persuasion by Jane Austen?
No.
Okay. Have you seen any of the movies? You know the story at all?
No.
Okay. Well, one thing that's fun about this movie is that it's basically Persuasion in movie form without being annoying like Hallmark does it with Sense and Sensibility, Snowman, Ridiculous.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh. It has nothing to do with Sense and Sensibility at all. Oh. So it annoyed me. But this, it's just because the story of Persuasion is about this in the eyes of that time period, this sort of old maid character, she's like 30, past her bloom, as they say back then. And and when she was young, she her family convinced her to reject this this young man that she was seeing, and because he wasn't from, he was starting in the army and wasn't wealthy enough, didn't have a position enough, all this stuff. And so all of a sudden she runs into him again. But at this time her family's really struggling, and like the tables have kind of turned, and he's this established captain in the army or whatever. And anyway, they get thrown back together, and so those old flames there. But that's basically the story here. And so it was kind of fun for me that you got this sort of secret Jane Austen movie there, where her family had basically convinced her to reject Corey Sevier's character when she was young, and then they're thrown back together again, and you know what's going to happen. And this definitely, the production values are, you can tell this is an acquisition. It's not on the same level as far as the filmmaking as some of these other movies, but I thought it was cute. I liked it. It's also was completely made in Utah, so I recognized a lot of the local actors, which was kind of fun, and a lot of the settings where the mall that they're at a lot of times is the one I go to for almost all of my screenings. So it was kind of fun for me on that level. And so overall, I liked it. I thought it was cute. And I have it at 15 in my ranking.
Yeah, we're having a good day today, Rachel. Hey. I am agreeing with you. What is happening? What has finals done to me? I really liked it. I thought it was really cute. And I think the little stories, my like favorite part was her setting up her boss with all the different guys. Uh-huh. I just thought that was so cute. And I thought it was funny how she was like, she gives a list with pictures and the lady just takes out a pen and just starts crossing their faces out. I just thought that was really funny. It was really cute. And I have it about in the middle, or number 20 out of 47 that I've seen so far. Okay. So
yeah.
So pretty good. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I'd probably give it 3.75 stars.
Yeah. And I'm going to give it like a 3.
Okay. Yeah. People should check it out. The lady that she's matching, she does all of the ads for the Megaplex movie theater.
Oh, really?
So when you go to sit down in a movie, our local chain that's sort of Arizona, Utah, Idaho kind of area, that I'm like, look, it's the Megaplex lady.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, Okay, let's see. So next we had A Christmas Winter Song. This is on Lifetime, and it stars Ashante, Stan Shaw, and Sashani Nicole. Cleo befriends Fred, a homeless former jazz singer down on his luck. They form a special bond over music, and Cleo, having just lost her own father, helps Fred reconnect with his own daughter just in time for Christmas. And for me, at least, I was sort of skeptical about this movie because most of these singers trying to take a turn at acting doesn't turn out the best. And so I was not, and I'm not super familiar with Ashante and her music. And so I was pretty skeptical. I watched it last night and I was really charmed by this movie. I thought that Ashante was lovely in the role. And I thought that this Stan Shaw was really great as this man that first she thinks he's kind of a wanderer, and he is at one point is sleeping in his car, and so they kind of try to help each other, and she tries to work to convince his daughter to give him another chance. And I just thought this movie was really cute and it was really Christmassy, and all the singing was very good. I thought that her voice was beautiful, and I thought that Stan Shaw's voice was very lovely. And so I enjoyed it quite a bit. Did you get to see this one?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. So I have it at number 10.
Nice. So what's your star, your crowns?
I will give it four stars.
All right.
Yeah, it was much better than I expected. So if people want... And they even do A Holy Night and do it well. So,
oh wow, that's a huge compliment coming from right.
I know. And I have to say, they sang it. A girl sang it in church on Sunday. It was so beautiful. I was just like, wow, you did an amazing job. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It was so good.
Because we listened to so many bad versions of it throughout the year.
It was such an amazing, it was actually a really wonderful service on Sunday because we had the Oh Holy Night, and then this man who is just coming after going through a rehab, which is a pretty risky choice, you know, to pick, but oh, it was so moving. He did an incredible job. It was very good.
Yeah. So, that's one of my favorite times is Christmas at church. They do at my church a big, like our pastor speaks on Christmas Eve, but it's mostly music because we're a very music driven church, and it's just, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
That's really cool. All right. Next one, we're rediscovering Christmas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you get to see this one?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Rediscovering Christmas, when Mia, a talented Boston department store window designer, travels to her family's Connecticut town to help her sister design the decor for its annual Snowflake Festival Christmas Eve dance. Wow, say that 10 times fast. She finds herself at odds with and later attracted to the stubborn but kindly Adam, whose grandparents founded the beloved festival 60 years ago. So did you get to watch this, Rachel?
I did. So this one, I would say it's okay. It's not, I don't think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was great. My favorite part about the movie was I thought it was the hot chocolate. Everything with hot chocolate was hilarious. And the at the cafe, when they bring it to her, it's literally like a whole tray full of toppings and stuff. And and he's kind of looking at her like, what's wrong with you? And I did kind of, I liked them pretty well. I thought they were a pretty fun match.
Yeah, they were cute together.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
And, but the story wasn't the best.
It was
just a party planner movie.
Yeah. But like literally when they pulled out the hot cocoa stuff, I was like, this is like a 12-year-old's birthday party. There was so much candy.
It was so funny. I'm like, this would be a huge ordeal for any restaurant to give that to people.
Like, geez. Oh, goodness.
It was pretty funny. But it was okay. Like, if you wanted a background movie to have on.
It was middle range. It was,
I have it at 51. I agree. 51 out of 68.
I think, mine's is around 43 out of 47. No, not 43. Like 37 out of 47.
Okay, yeah.
So, it's okay.
Yeah, I would give this one 2.5, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
Stars.
The same.
So, okay.
All right, on to
next one is on Netflix. So we're moving on from Lifetime to Holiday Rush. It's on Netflix. Stars Romany Malco, Sonequa Martin Green, who is the lead on the new Star Trek series. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, cool.
To see, because Star Trek Discovery is pretty gritty. It's mature rated. And so it was kind of fun for me to see her in this. And then Darlene Love, and it's after his sudden firing, a popular radio DJ moves in with his aunt, bringing along his four spoiled children and a plan to return to the airwaves. And so this movie, I thought, was okay. It had a nice community spirit about it. And it did have some good Christmas music. And I liked Romany and Sonequa as this couple. And the fact that it's really more his son who's not accepting of all of these changes. And into the like, because you know me and spoiled teenagers, not my favorite. but in their defense, they do undergo a lot of change in a very short period of time. Like, they have to move. The son just finds out that he got into Harvard, and now he thinks, oh, I'm not going to be able to, achieve my dreams in that way because the dad's just lost his job, and they're moving in with their aunt. And so all of a sudden they're in this small house, and I mean, it's a lot of change. So I was a little bit more forgiving than I might have otherwise been. but yeah, I mean, it was okay. I have it at 46. So on my ranking, I would give it 2.75.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so okay. And then, then we have another one from Netflix. Do you want to do this one?
Yeah. Okay. So I made Rachel move this from last week's recording just so I could talk about it. So this is A Christmas Prince, The Royal Baby from Netflix. It's the third movie in the series. Who thought 2 years ago when we were talking about this first movie, Rachel, that we'd be talking about a third one? Okay. So it's Christmas time in Aldovia, and a royal baby is on the way. Amber and Richard host royals from a distant kingdom to renew a sacred truce, but when the treaty vanishes, peace is jeopardized, and an ancient curse threatens their family. Yikes.
Yeah. You want to hear something hilarious?
Mm-hmm.
Check out YouTuber Jenny Nicholson, her video she did on how Christmas Prince was is truly a dystopian future.
That's so good. I like
he hasn't done this third one yet, but I can't wait. I'm dying to hear it. But,
oh, my goodness.
It's pretty good. this one, it was really bonkers. They really leaned into it.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was better than the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the last one was boring, in my opinion. At least this one wasn't boring. And... so I know that's about all I have to say for it. It was bonkers. There's like curses and this lost treaty that for some reason, this is 2019. Why do they have to find this treaty? Like, what? Why wouldn't they have this somewhere electronic? Like, what? they end up getting locked in the dungeon. It's the sister and the mom, the grandma, it's crazy.
This movie series is just bonkers. I take it with a grain of salt. Like, I think I love it just because of how ridiculous it is. But the whole time I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Especially with the guy who wants to redesign the treaty and the curse on the baby, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is
yeah.
And I think the like most ridiculous thing to come out of this movie is that map they showed and how now there's a Netflix cinematic universe of Christmas movies. And like I'm seeing all these theories on Facebook and stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not Marvel, guys. Like, come on, we don't need the Christmas cinematic universe on Netflix, and this is gonna just be crazy because it's
speak for yourself. I need, I need
that. That sounds amazing. Like, I couldn't deal with less ridiculous movies. Like, I'd be fine if they were more like normal-ish, like more realistic at least, but like oh
it's ridiculous. And she's supposedly this like journalist, and yet yeah. What was all this? Was searching for the treaty? It was bizarre, and then the whole thing was all of a sudden like Simon is all of a sudden in love with her friend, and
what happened in the past year that we missed? Yeah. Like, geez.
What the heck? It was crazy, and the whole Asian, I forget the name of their country. But that was so cringeworthy. It was terrible. All those
yeah.
was so bad. So, yes. I have this movie. It's a tough one to rank because it is kind of entertaining because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have it at 50 just because I didn't kind of enjoy watching it and it wasn't boring like the second one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have it at 50 out of 68, but it's not a good movie. Make no mistake.
I have it at 25 out of 47.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I liked it. Also, this year, I'm giving higher rankings to movies that make me laugh than make me cry. That's my new lease on life, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
So what are your stars for this one?
Oh, gosh. It's so hard. I would give it... for entertainment value, I'll give it 2 stars. For actually movie, I'd probably give it like 1 star, but I'll give it 2.
I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm just going for it. You know what? This is ridiculous. I am buying into the Netflix ridiculousness. Okay.
We'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Storyworth, and right now you can get $20 off your first purchase is Storyworth. Go to storyworth.com/hallmarkies and you can get that discount. And what Storyworth does, it's a great way to stay in touch with your family and to help you to chronicle, to preserve the stories of your family. And so basically you sign up at storyworth.com and you are presented each week with a question, a prompt that then your loved one can then fill out. You can either interview them or they can write it, however you want to do it. They can answer the question. And something like one that was done this last couple weeks was, did you join a fraternity or sorority in your college days? So then people can talk about that. And there's all different kinds of questions. Hopefully it's stories that you might not have heard, or maybe you heard and you didn't write down, so you don't remember these things. And it'll be what was your mother like? What was what's a memorable experience you had over the holidays? Or what's one of your life's greatest surprises? What's one of the riskiest things you've ever done? So they try to send you questions that that will inspire you to hear a story from the person that you are interviewing and or that you are writing about. And what's really cool is then over the course of the year, you get the answers to all of these questions and you can share those answers with whoever you want. And then at the end, they compile them all into a really attractive book. And it's something that you can have to remember. And I think it's a really cool idea and a really cool project. And I don't know, is that something that would be sound appealing to you, Amy?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Do it about my dad. He could talk about his fraternity days for hours. It would be great. So, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. Go to storyworth.com/hallmarkies. You get $20 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/hallmarkies. Get $20 off. So the next is on to Ion. And this is the best Christmas ball ever. And it stars Elizabeth Hernois, Samuel Hunt, Christian Oliver, Thomas Cramel, and Julia Ditzel. And it's after a surprising breakup at home in Chicago, Amy decides that a change of scenery will do her well and impulsively decides to spend the holidays with her brother in Vienna. After taking ballroom dancing lessons with her dashing European dance partner, Lucas, Amy scores an invitation to dance competitively in the city's biggest holiday ball and also another shot at love. So I think you can agree that I have a pretty high tolerance when it comes to these movies. Is particularly to logic and plot holes and things like that. Compared to most film critics, at least, I'm pretty nice. Okay. This movie broke me. This movie makes zero sense. I mean, zero sense. So she's going to go visit her brother in Vienna. And for some reason, how does she even know about this Christmas ball? First of all, and second of all, why, if you're going to Vienna, would you even want to go to this Christmas ball? Why wouldn't you want to see Vienna? But then she's like lost and just out on the touristing because her brother is busy. She's out touristing her first day and she gets lost. And the place that she decides to go and ask for directions is this dance studio, which is weird. Like, why would you ask for directions in a dance studio? Like, you would go, I would think you'd ask someplace, like, a market or someplace touristy at all. Like, I feel like dance studio is not catering to tourists. That's weird. Yeah, anyway, so she does, and he breaks, right when she's there, she breaks up. And he breaks up with his dance partner, who you'd have to assume they have been training for this big thing, competition, for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And they break it up. And he's like, well, I guess I need to find another partner. And then he's like, what about you? What about your great partner? And she's just like, oh, okay. You mean I can get into the ball if I dance with you? And he's like, yeah, for sure. You get into the ball. And so then I don't know how long this vacation is supposedly, but like she goes from literally stepping on his feet so bad that it's like painful for him to supposedly being in this ball, this like competition, beating out like outright professionals. And just like, you imagine they've had a couple of days to practice, because again, she's just here on vacation. She's not even and the whole thing was completely insane. But I didn't think this one was insane in a fun way, a so bad it's good way. It was just like, this makes no sense. And so yeah, this one was really bad, really, really bad. And
okay.
Yes, so I give this one a half a star.
Oh,
it was really, ooh, it was really bad. I can't.
I believe you.
So I have it at 65.
Wow, I didn't even watch it. My DVR ran out of. I've been doing finals for 2 weeks. I have so many Christmas movies on my DVR. My DVR is crying. Okay.
Yeah. So it was. It, like I said, not in my opinion, it wasn't so bad. It's good. Entertaining, like maybe the Christmas Prince movies or something like that. But speaking of so bad, it's good. And another one from Ion was called A Beauty and the Beast Christmas. And last year they had a movie called Snow White's Christmas, which was bonkers. And to me, didn't quite pull it off in, I didn't end up recommending it. This movie is completely insane, and it is definitely in that so bad it's good. I hope it was intentional to be this terrible, but It's so ridiculous. And so this movie is about this, I guess I should just read the summary. Ginger Holiday, a peppy Christmas influencer, is convinced by her agent to fake a holiday romance with viral bad boy Bo Bradley to gain more followers. Ginger and Bo initially can't stand each other, but as they spend more time together, they realize the feelings they had to fake at first just might be turning into something heartfelt. So this movie, basically the idea is she is this, she's this YouTuber who's like super focused on views and super focused on everything. And she has this beauty sponsor that if she goes underneath 20 million views or subscribers, then they will lose the sponsor. And so her manager, who's like super conniving and like terrible, develops this scheme because she can't do more videos because she does a video where she makes her own hair dye and it causes her to have this sort of burn kind of reaction. You can hardly see it. Like literally most of the time her bangs cover it up. It's like barely noticeable. And this bad boy, other YouTuber guy, is like a skateboarder YouTuber. And he comes and they're going to pretend to get married. And there were so many bonkers things about this movie. I just to read you some of my tweets real quick because it was hilarious. So,
you know, if this wasn't made, I know this was made pre the Tana and Jake Paul fake wedding. It sounds like the Tana and Jake Paul fake wedding. And if anyone watches a lot of YouTube, you know what I'm talking about.
See, I don't even know that. So maybe
that's what this movie sounds like. Look up Jake Paul and Tana when we're done with this, look them up and you'll see what I'm talking about.
So at one point, there is the biggest food fight I've ever seen in a TV movie. Like, it was epic and hilarious. And then they kept trying to have reasons for the bad boy guy to be without his shirt, like, all the time in hilarious ways. And that made me laugh. And just their like focus when they're doing like YouTube videos and stuff, it was so ridiculous. There's one where he has nothing on but a pair of like boxer shorts and a scarf, a festive scarf, and they're drinking hot cocoa and making this YouTube video, and I was just like, what is happening? So then they end up having this they have this fake wedding that they're going to do because things are just getting real desperate. And they have a drag queen officiating the wedding, which is fine, like whatever, but like it was just so random, this Santa drag queen. And then the manager gets sort of jealous or whatever. I don't know what he was trying to do, but he locks our hero in the bathroom, and she's just like, well, I gotta go through with this fake wedding, I guess, for more views. And she looks at the camera and she's like she's like, just unsubscribe, why don't you? and so she's like, well, and then her manager's like, well, you better marry me instead. And the hero guy, he climbs out of the window of the bathroom, but it's on the second story, and so he jumps and he doesn't get injured at all. He's like, he just sort of like it was ridiculous. And then he breaks up the wedding, and she's like, don't look at my hideous scarves, this is me, if you don't like it, unsubscribe.
Okay, yeah, no, literally everything you're describing, this is like the hardcore like YouTubers that are like around my age that think they're in some sort of MTV reality show is what this is.
Oh my gosh.
Like these people exist. I'm going to send you the wedding video up for Tana and Jake Paul, and I want you to react to it on Twitter. Oh my
gosh. Well, yeah, and then they have this long fight, and like the manager character is in a full tux with a bow tie, and then he gets thrown into the pool, and for some reason, first of all, he loses bow tie, suit coat, and his shirt, and you can see he has this huge kind of burn, like the kind she has on her face, for some reason, we don't even know why, and So he's disgraced, disgraced manager. And then you have Donna Mills as her mother. And she's sitting there. She says, she's trying to like comfort her daughter. She's like, this is going to be permanent. I'm forever going to look like this. And she says, don't worry. Looks are overrated.
Oh my gosh.
That was so funny. And then, and then for some reason, they have this true love kiss and he says, of course you stress me out. That's why I need you. And you're wonderful. And then all of a sudden her scar is gone. It's like true love's kiss or something. You got rid of the scar.
What?
Yes. And then he says, I actually didn't mind how you looked before. Now you are too beautiful, but I guess I'll have to learn to deal with it.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it wasn't even ironic. It was supposed to be swoon worthy. And I was dying laughing. And it was so ridiculous. I had a great time watching it. I thoroughly recommend it. But it is terrible. But it was very funny. And I hope it was intentional. I said, this is a film that definitely crosses into some bad. It's good territory. I think a lot of it was intentionally so. At least I hope so. I have no other words. And, yeah, you imagine telling your daughter who's like feeling sad about her looks. Don't worry. Looks are overrated. Basically saying like, yeah, you pretty much are terrible looking, but it's okay. Nobody cares.
You know, growing up on the internet since I was 13, like, I've had social media for almost 10 years now, since I was a really little kid. Yeah. And you know what? A guy saying that to a girl, especially when social media is involved, not surprised. Like, honestly, sounds like middle school, and that's pretty much what the internet is.
Oh my God.
So.
This is so ridiculous. It's crazy. Well, to all of you listeners, don't accept that.
No, don't.
Like, Your true love shouldn't be like, I didn't mind how you looked. It was okay. Now I'll have to learn to deal with it.
Gosh. Wow. That's awful.
Anyway, so it was hilarious. I thought, yeah. But it's like impossible to rank because it's terrible. But it made me laugh at how terrible it was. But I have it at 55,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't know. Who knows? Rankings are stupid. So I give it 1.5 stars.
Okay.
But for entertainment and laughs, I give it 4 stars. It was so funny. Yes. If anybody else sees this movie, please let me know your thoughts. I would love to talk about it because it was bizarre.
See, I want someone to watch it now who's like big into like the YouTube, like kind of early 20s community, and compare it with them, because I think this would be funny to like compare to like actually what some people do on the internet. I mean, yes. I'd probably get attacked by some people's fans, but like,
don't attack us. I was thoroughly entertained. Anyway, so last one on ION was Christmas Matchmakers, and this stars Vivica Fox, Anne Marie Dobbins, Andrew Philip Rogers, Tracy Nelson, Dorian Gregory, and it's the week after Thanksgiving when Jen, a personal assistant, and John, an advertising exec, happen to sit next to each other in the food court and bond over mutual problems with their bosses. After complaining that they have no time for their personal lives, they come up with an elaborate plan to have their bosses date in order to get more time for their own Christmas vacations. As the two become closer and their plan begins to show signs of life, it turns out that Jen and John may just be the perfect match for each other. And so you didn't get to see any of the ION, right?
No, I watched this one.
Oh, you did. What did you think?
Didn't Netflix make this movie already?
Yeah, that's the big problem. Like, literally beat for beat, this movie is set it up. Except for not as good.
I do have to say, I did enjoy this cast better than the Netflix one.
Really?
I did, yeah. The Netflix one, I thought was a little dull.
Interesting.
So I think Christmas just gave it a little perk for me, but still I was like, wow, I've already seen this movie, like literally.
Yeah, like beat for beat. And but talk about another instance of of an Ion movie where they have him without his shirt for no reason. Yes, at all. That
exactly. So I'm like, funny. He's just at his house and all of a sudden he takes his shirt off. And I'm like, all right, I guess. Like
that was hilarious to me.
Also, this is
always hilarious and great.
This main guy is like what Noah Centineo is going to be in like 10 years. Like the main guy. That's the whole
thing. Yeah, time. I can like, see that.
This is the future of him.
Like, sorry, Noah. Yeah. So I don't know. I like set it up, but I mean, it was so similar that it felt kind of cheap to me.
I mean, I did like that it was in LA.
Yeah, that's so true. I don't know where Set It Up is set. I can't remember. But I don't know. It just felt like it just felt lazy. It felt lazy to me because it was so similar. And I didn't think the acting was very strong. So I have it at 49 just for Vivica Fox. Was pretty, I liked her. She was good. I mean, I would have probably been a little bit nicer to it if it had been on its own, but it's just, like I said, felt really lazy to me. So yeah, I'd probably give it, I'll give it 2 stars.
Okay. I'm going to give it 3 stars because I liked it. Uh-huh. I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. It was good. Also, we don't get a lot of Los Angeles being okay during Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to take what I can get, you know?
All right. So then there's 2 that I saw on BET. Mm-hmm. One called Holiday Heist. This stars Chaley Rose, Tobias Truvillian, Philip Edward Van Leer. And it's a man released from prison is torn between a life of crime and a fresh start with a woman he meets while scoping out a potential heist. And I have to say, Chaley Rose, she was in a Hallmark movie this year. She is beautiful. And you can listen, we got to interview her, and she's very interesting and delightful. And she's definitely the best part of this movie. And she's supposed to be a fashion designer, wants to be a fashion designer. And her clothes were very beautiful. I was like, okay, I buy it that she wants to be a fashion designer, which a lot of times you don't in these movies. You're like, that doesn't look like an interesting fashion designer. But all the stuff with the heist, I was like, not into at all. It was really cringy. And you got like Russians involved and her brother becomes involved and there's like a credit card scheme. All becomes very convoluted. And I wasn't into that. Also, like some of the conflict between her boyfriend was one of those relationships where it feels like this is on the edge of becoming like abusive and kind of scary, but like it never went there, but it was always kind of on the edge. He was very possossessive and I didn't kind of like a Christmas coupon kind of in a way. But the guy that she ends up working with was cute enough. And I liked the romantic parts and the family parts and the parts of church. And I don't know. I have it at 41, but this seems high to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I like Holiday Rush better, so I'm going to change this.
Okay.
But she's good. I like her. And so I hope she continues to get more projects. So I'm going to put it at 46 instead. 46, and I'll give it 2.5.
Okay.
And then there's 'Twas the Chaos Before Christmas, and this is also on BET. It has a big cast: Cynthia K. McWilliams, Malachi Malik, Sherry Shepherd, Victoria Raul, and Affian Crockett. And two families booked the same holiday rental on different websites over the same period of time at Christmas. When the families all arrive at the same property, all chaos erupts. The two families cannot be more different, and chaos results. So, yeah, the whole idea of this is you have like one family that's kind of like a hipster, urban, like big into sort of natural eating. They're all vegetarian, you know, like that kind of family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this other family who's like old, small town school, like old school kind of eating like traditional sort of Southern food and just really like not hipster. You have like a hipster family and a not hipster family, and they're trying to all stay in this house that they didn't mean to stay in, and all try to get along. And that could have been done well, but I hated all these people. They were the worst. And so I just thought it was a miserable experience to watch them all just fight. And so I didn't enjoy it at all. I have it at 58. And I'd give it 1.75 stars. It wasn't for me, but anyway, there you go. So we did it, all 13 movies.
Woo. Oh, I actually have something to add. I forgot. I watched this. I watched the Netflix series Merry Happy Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The Christmas series. I actually really enjoyed it. I was surprised because I'm not a comedy person normally, or like comedy TV shows I'm not normally into. But I wrote so many papers in the past couple weeks that I just needed something that could go play on the background. And so I turned it on and I enjoyed the cast. I thought parts of it were funny. And yeah, I think if you need some background stuff, and I think it was like kind of realistic to like a family these days, like every character had like a different thing going on with them. And yeah, I enjoyed it. And I hope they do another season next year. I think it'd be fun to see where the family goes in a year or whatever. But yeah, so I would recommend you watch it. Just put it on in the background though. I don't know how like closely you should pay attention to it though.
Okay, good. So yeah, my top 10 non-Hallmark for this year is Claus at 1. I have Little Women at 2. Twinkle All the Way at 3. Christmas Movie Christmas at 4. Christmas Wish at 5. Grounded for Christmas at 6. Holiday in the Wild at 7. The Road Home for Christmas at 8. Turkey Drop at 9. And A Christmas Winter Song at 10. And so there we go. It's been pretty eclectic, I would say. A lot of variety. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we still have like 10 more next week.
Yeah, that's true. We're almost done. Almost done. It's so exciting.
Just watch. Next week, we're going to be like, oh, we're done. And then some channel is going to be like, we're going to put 4 more movies out.
Surprise.
We only have 8 next week, so... Yeah. We're doing well.
It's pretty exciting, and I will have, yeah, I wonder if I'll get to 120. It's gonna be something like that.
Someone find an award that they can give Rachel for this, please. She needs a trophy or something.
Yeah, and in my top 20 as a whole for Christmas, I have, let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 12 movies that are non-Hallmark in my top 20.
Wow.
I know. It's
pretty. I'm trying to see. Yeah, most of my top, well, I mean, I haven't really watched any of the Hallmark ones, though. Yeah. I have 20 on my team.
Yeah, so I have my top 10 all together is Claus, Little Women, Twinkle All the Way, Christmas Town, Two Turtle Doves, A Christmas Movie Christmas, A Christmas Wish, Grounded for Christmas, Cherished Memories, A Gift from Remember 2, and Check Into Christmas is my top 10.
Yeah, my top 10 right now, because I haven't separated them yet, so my top 10 is Christmas Movie Christmas, Let It Snow, Merry and Bright, Santa Girl, The Night Before Christmas, A God Winks Christmas, Noel, Last Christmas, The Mistletoe Secret, and Holiday Hearts.
Ah,
so yeah, three of those there. Are Hallmark. So
very cool. But, all right. Well, good. Let us know your favorites and what you think of these different movies that we've talked about. We'd love to hear your feedback and in the comment section or on Twitter. And I'll put a link to my Letterboxd if people want to look at my various rankings, and then you can do that. And Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig, and I'm currently in the middle of Vlogmas, so if you want to see me struggle to post a video every day for the entire month, go on over to my YouTube channel. It's Amy Craig. Great.
Yes, and you can find us at Home Rookies Pod and Home Rookies Podcast, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, all over the place. Please follow us. We try to post frequently. I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that as well. We have our Facebook group, and we have our patron group, and we so appreciate that. If we have all information in the description section, and we try to give giveaways and exclusives and try to make it worth your while to sponsor us. So check that out. And then we also have our merch store, which has a lot of great Hallmark inspired and Hardy inspired designs. So check that out. Plus we have designs from artist Jessica Miller. So we would love your you to take a look at that. So thanks so much. This was really fun. And especially if you've seen A Beauty and the Beast Christmas, please let me know what you thought. I want to talk about it with someone. So, all right. Well, thanks so much, Amy. And we will talk again later this week. Next week.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys.
Bye.